Thousands of years ago, Wyoming was home to mammoths. Archaeologists have been studying interactions between the first humans and last mammoths in the state. One archaeologist is the University of Wyoming Department Head of Anthropology, Todd Surivel. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kudelska chatted with Surivel about what he believes caused the extinction of mammoths.
I'm a very strong believer in the overkill hypothesis that it was humans that caused this extinction event. And this is part of my talk, is taking the evidence from Wyoming, looking at human interaction with extinct proboscideans, or mammoths, mastodons, and gomphotheres, and comparing it to the rest of the world and putting it in a global context. And I've done research looking at sites like this worldwide, and they exist in Africa, Europe, and Asia. And what you see very clearly, I think, in the archaeological record, other people would say the evidence isn't as strong as I say it is, but that when you look at this record over the last, say, 1.5 million years, you see this pattern of humans and our hominin relatives expanding out of Africa into Europe and Asia, slowly moving our frontier northward, and hunting elephants the whole time. And you, what you really see is this elephant hunting limited to the frontier of human expansion. You see elephant hunting in Western Europe in a very limited period of time, and then you never see it again. You see it in North Asia in a limited time, you never see it again.
And it's not because of extinction there.
It is because of extinction, but it's because humans and elephants are like oil and water. They don't mix. In fact, you see this process continuing in Africa and Asia today, where the healthiest elephant populations exist in places where human population densities are very, very low. And this is essentially a global pattern. And the case of Wyoming and North America is just a small little case of a global phenomenon of humans expanding our range into that of these extinct animals, which used to have a near global distribution, and wiping them out in the process. This is a very much a human issue, and it's very much a signal of humans in the archaeological record. If you wanted to study human global colonization and figure out when people arrived, any point in the world, you could do it just by studying paleontology. You could just look for a big extinction event, and that would mark the arrival of humans.
Not every extinction is related to humans. I mean,
absolutely not. There right. are many extinction events that happened prior to humans.
Right. But when humans were...
Human arrival to new places in the world always corresponded with a wave of extinction event. A wave of extinctions... And usually those extinctions preferentially impacted the big animals.
Hmm. And does it seem to be the big animals because they could provide the most to humans?
There's probably two reasons. You know, the way people choose the resources that they hunt or gather are those that provide the most bang for your buck. So if I'm going to spend an hour foraging, if I can bring back 10,000 calories, I'm going to choose that option over one that gives me 1,000 calories, right? So there's a lot of good economic reason to target big animals. But another reason is that big animals have fairly slow reproductive rates, because when you're an elephant, early in your life, you invest all of your energy into growth to get to big body size, which then prevents predation by most other species, right? So you don't become reproductively mature until your teens, which makes you really susceptible to extinction by overhunting. If you kill something like 2% of an elephant population every year, it'll suffer extinction. Yeah. Whereas for something like rabbits, it takes much, much higher levels, like 80 to 90% culls.
Which is kind of surprising, because you would think that humans wouldn't have to kill as many, because they have at one kill
so much food.
So much food.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So there's also this issue of, if you kill a mammoth, do you use the whole thing?
I would think they did.
They did not.
They didn't.
So in a lot of these sites, what you find are the animals are still articulated, like the ribs on the lapel mammoth are still pretty much in place, in anatomical position. Almost certainly they're using what we call a gourmet butchery strategy, taking the best parts and moving on. The reasons why people might do that is if it's not hard to kill a big animal. If I can reliably encounter a big animal, say, every week, then why am I going to, you know, boil the bones to get the grease out? I'm just going to take the best parts and move on. So we see that, we often see that in context of abundance, a very light gourmet butchery strategy. That doesn't always characterize the people in the first people in the New World, but a lot of sites show that pattern, where sometimes you'll see big bison bone beds, where they killed a lot of bison, and some of the bison are still completely articulated and unbutchered.
Interesting.
In context of abundance, you see wasteful behaviors. But it's true. So later in time in Wyoming, say in the late prehistoric period, when you have bison bone beds, very commonly you'll see intensive processing of those animals, including stone boiling or grease rendering, where you're pulling all the marrow out of the bone, you're boiling it to pull out even more fat and getting all the calories you can out of a single animal. And you see that sort of trend over time, where it goes from light butchery to very intensive as you know, there's more people and resources are becoming more scarce relative to mouths to feed.